Thanks for joining us today for our Thursday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. So let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
1 John 2:1, it says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world." I don't have to fear anything that Satan is saying up in heaven, accusing me day and night. My advocate is there. What I love about this is that in my own mind, I kind of picture, you know, me up there, Satan's right there, before the Lord himself, but Jesus is there also, you know. And so the prosecuting attorney comes forward, that's Satan. Dave's done this. And some of the things, yeah, very embarrassing to be said. To which I'm just waiting for the advocate to step forward. I might even lean over. Feel free to step in at any time. Don't let him go through the complete list. When he's done, defense, the counsel comes forward and say, "These things are all true." Okay, I thought we'd have a better defense than that, but okay. It's all true, but guess what? I've taken it out on the cross. My blood has washed him. He is innocent. Gavel comes down. Innocent. You're free to go. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? And so Paul continues with this amazing, triumphal, you know, declaration. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. It doesn't matter what horrendous thing happens to us. Yet in all these things, we're being slaughtered. We're being killed all day. Okay. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You put your faith in Jesus, guess what? Nothing's going to ever, ever, ever separate you from the Lord. I praise God for that. So then God substantiates Israel's survival by then giving this rhetorical question. He says, is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Satan, you oppose him, the high priest Joshua, and all that he represents. But is he not a brand plucked from the fire? And when you pull a brand or a branch from the fire, then what do? You rescue it from complete consumption. And we've seen Assyria come and ravage the countryside and ravage Israel, but guess what? Israel's still there. And yet we've seen the Babylonians come down and take them captive, but guess what? They're back in the land. And yet we've seen the Romans come and again, they're dispersed among the nations, and then yet we see them come back, and they're in the land today, aren't they? Yes, they have gone through trials and persecutions and some judgment and things like that, but guess what? Their brand that has been plucked from the fire, they will never be totally consumed. Even when we look at the seven-year tribulation period, and two-thirds of the Jews during that time are going to die, they reach out and they cry out to their Messiah, and that's when Jesus comes back again. Yeah, there's a lot of difficulties that have come their way. There's a lot of tribulation that has come their way, but guess what? They're a brand plucked from the fire, and they will never, ever, ever be consumed. In Zechariah 3:3, it says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Well, The understanding is that he's in his priestly garments. He's the high priest. So the garments he would be before the Lord would be like he's before the Lord in the temple. Okay, so he's in his priestly garments. But look at it now. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and was standing before the angel of the Lord, God himself. The word filthy here means the most gross and disgusting filth. It speaks of human excrement. This is how he appears before God in his sinful condition. This is how he represents the people, is in their sinful condition and is absolutely filthy before God. In Isaiah 64, 6, it says, "But we're all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. And without our advocate, we stand filthy and condemned before the Lord." Proverbs 30, verse 12, "There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes." Boy, if that isn't this generation, I don't know what one is. "Yet is not washed from its filthiness." Every generation thinks that they're pure in their own eyes. And yet when you compare it to what the Word of God says we're supposed to be like, it's absolutely filthiness. Zechariah 3, 4, "Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I've removed your iniquity from you. I will clothe you with rich robes." The only person that can remove your iniquity is God. You can't do it. You can't earn it. You can't clean yourself up. Only God can do it. He's the only one that can remove your iniquity. And he's the only one that can clothe you with rich robes. And those robes are going to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why. And so God's doing it. He's making Joshua clean. And then in Isaiah 61:10, it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." Only God can do it. Only God can do it. And he does it through his son, Jesus. In Job 29:14, Job says, "I put on righteousness, it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban." That is speaking of God putting that on him of the high priestly robe. And again, that speaks of his Redeemer, Jesus. Again, in Revelation 7:13, it says, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And so he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." There's only one way to have white righteous robes, and that is those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb through the sacrifice that Jesus himself did on the cross. 1 John 1:7 says, "In the blood of Jesus Christ has his son cleanses us from all sin." That's what does it. That's what does it. Again, only God can do the cleaning, and he does it through the son Jesus and the work that he did on the cross, because we are sinners. And so this whole vision that Zechariah is having right now is about forgiveness of sin. It's being made clean and righteous before God and knowing only God can do it. It's about justification, being made righteous. And again, that only happens by God imputing him his righteousness. In other words, what is being seen here is the gospel. We're seeing the gospel here. We don't have time today, but I did go through Zechariah, so you can go on our website, go to Zechariah chapter 3. But if you keep on reading in Zechariah, it talks about the branch who is to come, which speaks of the Messiah, Jesus. In verse 5, it says, and so the Lord, the angel of the Lord is the one that is saying, okay, take off those filthy garments, and he takes them off, and he's the one that puts on the robes. And Zechariah is getting so excited that it's Zechariah that speaks out now. And he says, let them put a clean turban on his head. I mean, he is so excited about what's going on. That not only is Joshua being clean, but his people he represents is being clean. This is exciting. And he understands that what is being placed upon him is still incomplete. And before the Lord himself has a chance to say and put a new turban on him, what is it that Zechariah? He pipes in. He's the one that says, let them put a clean turban on his head. Instead of going, you want to take over or you want to let me do this? The angel of the Lord allows it to happen. And so it says, so they put a clean turban on his head. And they put the clothes on him, which would mean because they already have the robes on him, that they then put on the ephod. And Zechariah is so excited because he understands, and until the turban is put on, you're not really holy to the Lord, because it says on there, holy to the Lord. And so the high priest's garments were not complete without the turban with the golden crown that said, holy to the Lord. And so the high priest wears these holy garments, the turban, the golden crowns that says, holy to the Lord, because it is there to show of the branch, the Messiah who is to come, is truly the one that is holy to the Lord. And yet, this is not a garment that Jesus puts on, because he's already holy to the Lord. Again, in Hebrews 7:26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy. Not that he puts on the holy garments. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first his own sins, then for the people. For this he did once for all. He offered up himself. We have a high priest that is already holy. He doesn't have to have anything on him that says he is holy. He is holy. And so this is speaking of the future high priest, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, who's going to be the high priest because of his own blood being offered up. And so this is what is happening here in Zechariah, that guess what? Even though he is the high priest, he is filthy before the Lord. He represents a filthy people before the Lord. But guess what? There's a high priest that is coming. And God's going to do it just like he cleaned up in the vision there, Joshua, and thus cleaning up the people as well. He's the one that did it. It's pointing to that high priest that guess what? He's going to make you clean once for all through a sacrifice that he's going to do on the cross. Going back here to Exodus 28. Exodus 28, verse 38. It says, so it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallowed in their holy gifts, meaning their sacrifice and offerings. And it should always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. In wearing his holy turban, the golden crown, the high priest identifies himself with those sacrifices and offerings that the people are bringing. And here's the thing. Even though they're bringing sacrifice and offering that are unblemished, that meet the requirements and everything else, the people themselves still have shortcomings. Every wrong and imperfection of the Israelites, even though they're bringing these perfect offerings, their imperfections was taken upon by Aaron and his display of the holy garments of the high priest. When the Israelites, brought their sacrifices before God, they did so out of obedience to God, but their sinfulness still contaminated and tainted those offerings and sacrifices that they brought. However, just like Aaron was accepted under the holiness of the crown of the turban and what it in its future represented, so too were the people accepted because the names were upon his garments, on his shoulders, and there on his chest, close to the heart. The high priest Aaron himself was sinful. That's why he had to make an offering for himself. He was sinful. The names of the 12 tribes on his shoulders upon the breastplate, they're all sinful. But Aaron and the people that he represented before God were received because of what it was representing. The future high priest who is to come, who truly is holy. And that's exactly the same way it is today. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, because we're so awesome. No. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted. How? in the beloved. Why am I accepted before God? Because I'm in Christ. I'm in what he has done for me on the cross. I am in Christ. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm not accepted because my last name is Love. I'm accepted because I'm in the beloved. I'm in the beloved. The Israelites were accepted in the beloved, just like we are, because they're accepted in the high priest who represents who to come? The beloved, Christ. Same reason. They're accepted in the beloved high priest, and we are accepted in our beloved high priest, Jesus. The sacrifice of the people were acceptable to God through the high priest. The people were sinners who offered up animal sacrifice, worshiped the holy God, and the only thing that made their worship holy was that they presented them through the sacrifices that are in the high priest, who is a picture of the Messiah, Jesus, who is to come. And so we're even told this again in 1 Peter 2:5. You're also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. My prayer, my worship, my works I do by faith are only accepted through Jesus Christ. Everything's accepted in the beloved. So going back here again to Exodus 28, verse 39. You shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen. You shall make the sash of woven work. Okay, here emphasize of the mind of the high priest covered in fine linen with a turban. The mind of the high priest is to be on the Lord. It's supposed to be focused on ministering to him, being pleasing to him. And again, this speaks of Jesus, the true high priest, because there's no way in the world that Aaron was singly focused and perfect in his worship and service and ministering to the Lord. Yet we read about Jesus in John 12:49, for I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father's told me, so I speak. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus was singly focused, single-mindedness on his obedience to God the Father. And that never wavered. Did Aaron do that? No. But it's pointing to the person who would. That's Jesus. Verse 40. For Aaron's sons... Now it comes to their clothing. You shall make tunics. You shall make sashes for them. And you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. So we have this picture here. And again, here's the white linen. Here's the white hat for them. Here's that sassy sash right here. And yet, Dave, where does it say to make this so colorful? It doesn't say it here. It says it actually in Exodus 39. So there's a lot that goes on between chapters like 37 through 40, actually from chapters 35 through 40, that is a repeat of what we have been going over. So when we get to chapter 35, we're going to be able to go a little faster than we have gone, I think. So, but in chapter 39, verse 27, it says this. They made tunics. You can go over there if you want, because I don't think I have it up here. So just leave that other picture up there, unless you're about to put it up there. Are you about to put it up there? Yeah, leave him up there. So in Exodus 39, verse 27, says, they made tunics, artistically woven of fine linen, for Aaron and his son. The tunic, made tunics, artistically woven of fine linen. And again, we've gone over when it says fine linen. Before it adds color to it, fine linen always means white, okay? A turban of fine linen, exquisite hats. So in case you didn't know, that's exquisite right there. That hat, exquisite. Exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers, those are the breeches. We'll get into that. Those are the undergarments, okay? A fine woven linen, white. And a sash of fine woven linen, that's white, but with purple, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, made by a weaver as the Lord had commanded Moses. So that's why we have this colorful sash here, because in Exodus 39 it tells us that. And again, it speaks of heaven. It speaks of kingship. It speaks of scarlet, but no gold. Why? Because these guys here speak of us, and we ain't God. But guess what? We're going to heaven. Guess what? We are also called kings and priests. And guess what? We are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't it interesting that gold is not mentioned there? Because this guy, he resembles us. He resembles us. Verse 41 says, "So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with them. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests." And so just as the garment of the high priest points to Jesus, so too do the high priest's sons point to us Christians. Because again, 1 Peter 2:9, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are the priesthood of believers." Now, we are also those white hats that you saw, those exquisite white hats here, right here, also speaks about our mind. And what are we supposed to have? We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And in Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind," that means humility, "let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Jesus did that. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men." You know how much humility it takes to go from God and to be made in the form of man? And then coming not only in the form of man, but as a bondservant on top of that. And then it says, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself further and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." We're told to have that same mindset, to have the mind of Christ. Now, you're going to follow me here. It's not going to be thrown up here on the screen. You're going to go over here to Revelation. You are going to go over to Revelation chapter 19 before Jesus comes back on his white horse for the second coming. Before that happens, we're told a little something. It says in verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." That wife that's being spoken of is the church. Okay? "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen." Why? Fine linen, clean and bright. "For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Okay? I would say the first righteous act we did was one where we received help of receiving Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Because that's what made us righteous. "Neither death nor even life. Let
nothing ever separate us." Well, that concludes today's edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30. right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.